Well, we didn't finish the whole Gemara Mem Amud Aleph.
We'll go over again.
No, I didn't finish.
Go over again.
Yeah. Rabbi Reishel has the art site for his mother. We dedicate the learning Lazech Nishma's Dogbe Leia Bas Rab Chaim Yitzchok. We learned the Gemara on Lamed Tesam and Beis. The Gemara says that there was a practice that when they were duchen in the Beis Hamikdash, when the Kohanim would say Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha, the Tzibur would respond by saying Psukim, and then Bikvul. And also they had such a practice. And the Gemara raises an objection. But when somebody gives you a bracha, the Kohanim give you a bracha, you're supposed to pay attention. What are you saying? What are you mumbling Psukim when the Kohanim are saying a bracha? So the Gemara says, it's not really a problem. It's possible for a person to pay attention to the bracha of the Kohanim and to recite the Psukim simultaneously. So then the Gemara has such a similar thing later on the Daf, Amem Amud Aleph, when the Chazan says the Chazaros Hashatz, so when he says Moidema Anachnu Loch, so that's not right. Chazan says the Chazaros Hashatz is a tefillah for the whole tzibur. It's not just that the Chazan is saying his private Shmon Esrei and Mechapta Rayin HaKdusha. The Chazan is saying for the whole tzibur. That's the Rishonim in the end of Rosh Hashanah give a mashal, just like in the Beis Hamikdash, there's the Korban Yochid and there's the Korban Tzibur. So the Korban Tzibur is offered on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, even the people who don't show up in the Beis Hamikdash, even the people who live in Chutz Lartz. Everybody is Mishtatif in the Korban Tzibur. So when the Chazan recites the Chazor HaShashatz, that's a tefillah for the whole Tzibur, even the people, even the Balabatim who don't show up in Shul. We should all show up in shul, but the Gemara still says the Am Shabasodas, the people, the farmers who live, the Chazaras Hashatz in London isn't good for me over here. The Chazaras Hashatz in New York is no good for the people who live in London, but the Chazaras Hashatz in New York is good for all the people who live in New York, even if they don't come to shul. You have to have 10 people in shul, and that's called the Chazaras Hashatz Tfilas HaTzibur. And then once it's called Tfilas HaTzibur, it's like a Korban Tzibur, it's chal on the whole Tzibur. It's not for the whole Klal Yisrael all over the world. Not exactly the same as the Korban Tzibur, is Korban the Beis HaMikdash on behalf of Gans Klal Yisrael who live all over the world. And the Chazaras HaShatz in that city is good for the people in that city. Let's say the Gemara says in Brachas, if you can't make it to Daven Tfilas HaTzibur, the person doesn't feel well, whatever, he's going on a trip, so he should try to daven the same time they're davening in shul. What do you mean? Let's say, I know I'm going to take a trip on Thursday, and I know in Toronto there's a minyan for Mincha 3:15. So I'm going to daven 3:15. What does it help 3:15? It means in New York, if there's a minyan in New York at 3:15. So have in mind, it's not tefillah b'tzibur in the full sense of the word. I'm not in the same base medrash with the other 10 people, but I'm davening b'shosh tzibur mispalim. So just like over there, you can relate to a tzibur in your city. You can't relate to a tzibur in another city. So here also, the Chazaras HaShatz in this city is good to be mitzi all the people in that city. So the assumption is, that's how it says in Shulchan Aruch, assumption is when the Chazan says the Chazaras HaShatz, he has to say everything out loud, and all the people in the shul have to pay attention. The Am Shebasada is the people who can't show up in shul are also yotzei with the Chazaras HaShatz. But when you set up the Chazaras HaShatz, you have to start off with 10 people. One of the 10 has to say the Shemone Esrei out loud, the other 9 have to listen to every word. That's why the Mishnah Berurah says that it's not right that the Chazan doesn't say Moedim out loud. He's supposed to say the whole Shemone Esrei out loud. Or on Leil Shabbos, we don't have a real Chazar, we never have Chazaras HaShatz for Ma'ariv, except for Leil Shabbos. On Leil Shabbos we say Magen Abbas, and Magen Abbas, the Gemara calls it Me'ein Sheva. Me'ein Sheva means it's an abridged form of the 7 brachas of the Shemone Esrei. That's a Chazaras HaShatz. The din is, let's say, a person didn't daven Ma'ariv. He doesn't feel well, didn't daven Ma'ariv. A person made a mistake in Ma'ariv, he said some mistake in the davening, it wasn't Yotze. So if he listens to the Me'ein Sheva of the Chazan, that's like listening to the Chazaras HaShatz. So you Yotze. So the Mishnah Berurah says that it's not right that a lot of times the Tzibur sings Magen Abbas, so the Tzibur says, recites Magen Abbas, and the Chazan doesn't say it out loud. The Chazan is supposed to say the whole Chazaras HaShatz out loud, the whole Moedim. Some even insist the Chazan should say Hashem Svasa Tiftach out loud, and you should say Yul Ratzin Imrefi out loud at the end. The Magen Avraham quotes from the Arizal that Hashem Svasa Tiftach, he quotes from the Kavanas Arizal, Hashem Svasa Tiftach, you should say Balachash. The Chazan shouldn't say it out loud. So later Achrayim point out that there is no such Arizal. They say, in the meaning of the Beis HaKnesses Arizal in Tzvas is that they say Hashem Svasa Tiftach out loud. Many Kehillas In Europe, they said Hashem saw said tiftach out loud. When the Rishonim would appear like that, Chazan is supposed to say the whole Shemana Esrei out loud. So the Gemara raises the same objection they had to the duchening. When the Kohanim are duchening, so you're supposed to pay attention. So how can you have a minig that you recite, you mumble psukim at the same time? How can you pay attention and recite psukim at the same time? So the Gemara says it is gemalt, it is possible. So the Gemara said the same over here. The Gemara raised an objection. It's not right that the Chazan says moedim anachdulach, and everybody just stands there. We're masking. He says moedim, he bows down. Moedim anachdulach, and we just stand there. The Gemara says no, we should say along with him something. We're not going to say a bracha in the Shemana Esrei, so we should say they had a minig. Some had a minig to say this line, some had a minig to say the other line. Everyone had. Here, there's the first wide line on Mem Amud Aleph. You have narrow lines, then wide lines, then very wide lines. So the first wide line before the very wide lines. Is Manshe Shliach Tzibo Amma Moedim in Masecha Soita, Daf Mem Amud Aleph, on the wide line. Is Manshe Shliach Tzibo Amma Moedim Ha'a Mehe Moedim. What, the Tzibo should say something along with the Chazan. It's not the Acheretz. He says, Moedim Anachna Loch, and we're just Yotze with Shemei Kaina. We don't say anything. So the Gemara says, we should say a little bit. Moedim Anachna Loch, Al Shana Moedim Loch. We praise you over the fact that you gave us the ability and the Seichel to praise you. Moedim Anachna Loch, Al Shana Anachna Moedim Loch. We give you thanksgiving. We thank you that you gave us a Zchia, that you gave us a right to thank you. Shmuel says, "Okay, called Bosa Hashanachma." You should add on a little bit. Next, Amara says a little bit. So the Amara says, "The real beautiful Amara Papa on the fourth wide line, Hilkech Nemrinu Lukulu." The real beautiful Nuschos. So we should say all of the Nuschos. That's why the Beis Yosef quotes Matzasi Kasuv. He found written in a sefer. That's why it's called Moedim Derabbanan. Why do we call it Moedim Derabbanan? What the Chazan says is Moedim Deraisim, what we say is Moedim Derabbanan, and the Moedim on the Chazan is also Moedim Derabbanan. No, Moedim Derabbanan means a collection of all of the Nuschos of all of the Amoraim. We say like Rapap and Nemrinu Lekula, we say all of the Nuschos of all of the Amoraim. Then Tosis quotes Al Shanachna Moedim Loch, Tosis quotes when Yishalmi also, different Nuschos, the Minig was in different Kilis to say different Nuschos. So the Gemara is raising the same objection. It's not Derech Eretz that we should just follow Zechan the Chazan. He's going to say Moedim Anach Nalach, and we just stand there. We should also say Moedim. We should bow down just like the Chazan bows down Tchila Basof when he says Moedim. And then he says the Melech, how do you say at the end of the Moedim? Hatov Shimcha Lachanah Lahoidos. So we should bow down at the beginning of Moedim. We should bow down at the end of Moedim also. So we should recite, but we have to pay attention to every word of the Chazan. That it should be called Tfilas HaTzibur. He has to daven on behalf of the whole Tzibur. So we should say Moedim Derabbanan. At the same time, the Chazan is saying the Moedim and the Shemana Esrei. And the assumption is that we can do it just like he can pay attention to the Kohanim at the time that they're saying the Duchening and say the Psukim at the same time. So the same is possible by the Moedim. That's why the Gemara puts it on the same daf. That's what we pointed out, that the Tur is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Torah writes that today there's a Yeridus HaDoiris and people can't concentrate so much. How can I mumble psukim at the same time that Kohanim are duchening and I'm going to pay attention? That's too difficult. So the Torah recommends you shouldn't say the psukim. You should just pay attention to the Kohanim, and the psukim are printed in the siddur. So he says, look at the psukim, be maharer in the psukim. But to say the psukim at the same time that the Kohanim are saying the duchening is very hard. Maybe Bismarck Gemara they succeeded in doing it, but today is too hard. So the Torah recommends you shouldn't do it. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. If they're put together, one daf next to the other, so the Moedim Derabbanan is also a problem. How can we say Moedim Derabbanan and pay attention to the Chazan? Usually the Tzibah screams out Moedim Derabbanan, the Chazan knows he doesn't stand the chance of out-screaming them, out-shouting the Tzibah, so he doesn't even try. So he says Moedim softly, so nobody hears a word of the Moedim. So that's not right. The Chazan should say the Moedim out loud. But the Tzibur is screaming out loud. So Rav Soloveitchik recommended the Chazan should scream out Moedim Anachna Loch in the beginning, and then he should pause, and then the Tzibur should finish saying the Moedim Derabbanan, and then the Chazan should finish the end of the Moedim. It's also problematic because the Rashba in Brachas quotes the Yerushalmi, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, this whole Rashba quotes Yerushalmi, that the proper practice should be we should synchronize the Moedim Derabbanan along with the Chazan's Moedim. We should start bow down in the beginning with the Chazan. His Moedim is longer than the Moedim Derabbanan. So we should say Moedim Derabbanan slowly. And we should finish Al Shanach Moedim Loch Baruch Kel Haidos. We should finish and bow down at the end, the same time the Chazan is bowing down at the end of Hatoshim Cholachon Olahodos. So the way Rav Soloveitchik recommended, you won't be able to do that. But he said, you have no brera because the tziba screams out Moinim D'Rabbanan out loud. You have to educate the tziba. They should say softly. Chazan should say out loud. Yeah. When they were still saying, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
The Chazan said twice Moinim. The first time, you remember quietly. And the second time, loudly. It's not that Tzibur Hayaf also to say it twice. We say it twice, Moedim.
We say the first time Belachash.
Yeah,
then the second time when the Chazan is repeating the Shemona Esrei.
Because of the Chazan say it twice, we have to say it also twice, no?
No, so we say the Moedim the Rabbanon. Yeah. While the Chazan is saying the Moedim and the Siddur, the Shemona Esrei, so we say this Moedim the Rabbanon. Yeah?
There are Chassidim that the Chazan only says Belachash. Is there an
offer
for that? That would say the modem almost totally
belongs. It's not right. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says is not right. Yeah, he doesn't quote. The Mishnah Berurah usually quotes everything from Svarim. Here he doesn't quote any Makor. Just says it's a davar pashut that it's not right. That the definition of Chazaras Hashatz is he says everything out loud. The same thing on Leil Shabbos when the Chazan says Magen Avos. Everybody says Magen Avos. The Chazan just begins at the end of Magen Avos, and the Mishnah Berurah, I don't think, quotes any source. He just says that it's just not right. The Chazan should say the whole Magen Avos out loud, because it's a Chazaras Hashatz. The Chazaras Hashatz is supposed to be said out loud.
You're supposed to stand as well? Just like the
Chazan
stands for
Maidim,
you do?
Yeah, I mean, even if you sit for Chazaras Hashatz, you should stand for the Maidim. I think so. I think so. Yeah. So that was the Gemara. That's the last Gemara, I think, that we learned. Then we left off about six lines from the bottom of Mem Amad Aleph, if I'm not mistaken. Amar Papa Hilchach Nerminu Lekula, we should say all the Nenschos together. And that's why it's called Moedim D'Rabbanan. So we left off, I think, over there. Amar Yitzchak, Le'olam Tehe'emas Atzibur Olecho. You have to have covered Atzibur. You have to have covered Atzibur in a very important way. There's a din of, sometimes there's the din of Kovet Tamir Chachamim, and sometimes the din of Moira Tamir Chachamim. Like there's two mitzvahs, two different mitzvahs. There's Kibra Aviyim, Kabeda Slivcha Vesimecho, then there's a din of Moira Aviyim, Ishim of Yavitiro. These are two different mitzvahs. So the same thing about Tamir Chachamim, there's a pasuk, Mipnei Seva Tokum, you should stand up for an older person, Vahadarta Pnei Zokin, Zokin is Eshikon Chachma. So Vahadarta means to give Kovet to a Tamir Chachma. Then we have another pasuk, Es Hashem El Kecha Tiro. The Gemara says the word "es" is mar b'talmid chachamim. So there's a din of kovet talmid chachamim, and sometimes, not always, there's a din of moira talmid chachamim. That's if it's Rabbi Muvok. If it's my Rabbi Muvok, not only is there a din of kovet, there's a din of moira. So here is a din. Not only do you have to have kovet over the tzibah, you have to have there's a din of kovet hamelach and moira hamelach. Shetehei, the Gemara says same tos malach melach. Shetehei emosa yalecha. Emosa means moira from the melach. Moira from the melach does mean he can put me in prison. He can shoot me. That's not what it means. Moira means extreme respect. Like Moira Aviyim doesn't mean I'm afraid they're going to hit me. Moira Aviyim means I should have extreme respect. The Moira Talmid Chachamim is not going to hit me. I should have it's like covered square, a greater degree of covered. It's called Moira. So Yidin Moira says, not only should you have covered Atzibur, you should have Emas Atzibur Alecho. What is, how do you know? Sharei Kohanim Pneim Klapi Ha'om. When the Kohanim Duchen, so they stand in front of the Aron Kodesh, they have the back to the Aron Kodesh. That's not right to have your back to the Aron Kodesh. In Shulchan Aruch it says, it's considered disrespectful, you have to show respect for a Sefer Torah. So let's say if there is a Sefer Torah in the room, you're not allowed to have your back turned towards the Sefer Torah. It's a Shaila, the Prima Kodim has a Sofek, the Taz writes. First we'll say the Taz, then we'll get to the Prima Kodim. Taz says, let's say the Sefer Torah is in a different room. There's a Sefer Torah in the other room. The din is, whenever they're carrying the Sefer Torah, you have to stand up. But let's say they're carrying the Sefer Torah outside in the street. I'm looking through the window. I have to stand up. So the din is not only if you're in the same Rishus where they're carrying the Sefer Torah. Or let's say in the shul they're carrying the Sefer Torah and I'm sitting in their side room. So if you're in a different room, let's say when they have hakafas. So Kolzman, they have hakafas, they're walking around with the Sefer Torah, so no one's allowed to sit in the shul. The women who are in the women's section are permitted to sit. It's a different room. Well, let's say if a man is exhausted, he's tired, and he can't stand the whole time by the hakafas, so he wants to sit. So let him walk outside of the shul in a different room, even though he sees the Sefer Torah from a distance. But if he's not in the same room, so he's not mechuyev to stand. The same thing, you're not allowed to have your back to the Sefer Torah. That's if the Sefer Torah is in the same rishus. So the Taz has a comment. When the rabbi gets up to hold the drosha, so the rabbi stands in front of the Aron Kodesh, has his back to the Sefer Torah. How you talking? It should be aser. So the Taz says it's muta because the Aron Kodesh inside is 10 tvachim tall and dalat al dalat tvachim. So that's a rishus bifnei atzmai. Usually an Aron Kodesh is like that. Sometimes you have the Chevek Kaddisha, has a teeny weeny Aron Kodesh. The Taka doesn't have Dalad. Sometimes it doesn't have. It's a small Sefer Torah. Sometimes it won't have Dalad al Tvachim. The Taka, then you're not allowed to have your back to such an Aron Kodesh because you have it back to the Sefer Torah. But the Taz writes, if the Sefer Torah is in the normal size Aron Kodesh, so it's really a different room, and there's no prohibition to have your back to the Aron Kodesh. I remember many years ago, she used to be downstairs. No, she used to be downstairs. And then we had the shiur. I think I used to sit in front of the Aron Kodesh. I think. So I remember, maybe downstairs. So I remember once there was a Talmid Chacham who was in Rabbanus and he retired. He was out of New York and he moved to New York. So he came to the shiur. So after the shiur, he said he enjoyed the shiur very much, but he's not going to come again because I have my back to the Aron Kodesh. So you're not allowed to do that. So I told him about the Taz says in Yerideya that it's permissible because the Aron Kodesh is a Rishus Bifnei Atzmai. He says the Rabbanim hold Roshes all the time with the back to the Sefer Torah because Sefer Torah is in a Rishus Bifnei Atzmai. So he says, you can say whatever you want, he's not going to come again. So, not have you back to the Sefer Torah. I don't know. So the Taz says, Sufik, what about during Kriyas HaTorah? He says, hey, Sefer Torah is on a table on top of a shulchan. The shulchan is dalet al dalet, and it's more than 10 tefachim above the ground. But it's not in a separate box. It's not like over here. It's Sefer Torah is in an Aron Kodesh. It's in a Rishus Bifnei Atzma. So the Taz is not sure. The Primogodim is not sure. Is it permissible to have your back to the Sefer Torah when the Sefer Torah is on top of the shulchan, b'shas kriyas HaTorah? He thinks that maybe it's asa. He thinks because it's still in the same Rishus. It's not the same as an Aron Kodesh. That it's in a different rishus. Strictly speaking, when they open up the Aron Kodesh, everybody stands up. Why do they all stand up? Because the Sefer Torah is there. So the Pashta says that you don't have to stand up. First of all, the Sefer Torah is in a different rishus. The Taz says a different rishus. And secondly, the only time you have to stand is when someone's walking with the Sefer Torah. When someone's standing still with the Sefer Torah, then you don't have to stand. Let's say the Chazan is saying Benjamin Rish Chodesh, and he stands still with the Sefer Torah. He doesn't walk with it. So it's considered as if the Sefer Torah is sitting. Let's say you only have to stand up for a Talmid Chacham if the Talmid Chacham is standing. Talmid Chacham is sitting, you can sit. So how do you say by a Sefer Torah? When is the Sefer Torah standing and when is the Sefer Torah sitting? So the Gemara says, if someone's walking with the Sefer Torah, then it's considered as if the Sefer Torah is standing. When someone's standing still with the Sefer Torah, it's considered the Sefer Torah is at rest. So then you're allowed to sit. So the Aron Kodesh, there are two reasons why. First of all, even the Chevek Kaddisha Aron Kodesh, which is not Dalar Adalid, not Dalar Adalid Tvachim, and Rishus Bifnei Atzma, but still, Sefer Torah is standing still. No one's moving with it. So also you don't have to, strictly speaking, you don't have to stand. So why do we talk to stand when they open up the Aron Kodesh? All the time, whenever they open up the Aron Kodesh. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. He doesn't think that we're standing because of the Sefer Torah. He thought we're standing because, what do we say? Because he thought that the piyutim that we recite, Anim Zmiris, or the Kael Arach Din B'yom Din, Levachan Levavis B'yom Din, Ucham Amin, Mishu Kael Emes, and so on. He thought all of these piyutim have the status like a Dovish HaBikdusha. Even if you wouldn't open up the Aron Kodesh, even if there wouldn't be any Aron Kodesh, he thought you have to stand because saying Anim Zmiris itself constitutes a Dovish HaBikdusha. A Dovish HaBikdusha, you need Amida, you need Asari, you need Amida. Iratifa, that was his suggestion. But the Poskim pointed out that Mi'ikir Adin, just because they open up the Aron Kodesh, there's no requirement to stand for the two reasons, because the Sefer Torah is not in motion, it's standing still, it's at rest, and secondly because it's in the Rishus Bifnei Atzma. So strictly speaking, there's no issa to have your back to the Aron Kodesh. But still, whenever you can avoid it, it looks a little funny. So the Gemara says, the Kohanim get up to Duchen, they have their back to the Aron Kodesh and they're facing the Tzibur. What is that all about? What is it all about? We had the Gemara said before. Kodesh Baruch Hu B'nei Yisrael, Amar Lahem, what does it mean? Amar Lahem, Kodem Hamadabra El Chaver. The din is that you have to have Panim Keneged Panim. When you give the Duchening, when you give the Bichas Kanim, you have to face the Tzibur. And a lot of times the people are so concerned, we discussed, the people are so afraid to look at the Kohanim's skin, so they turn around. So the Poskim say that that's not right. You have to have Panim Keneged Panim. So why do the Kohanim face the Tzibur? The Halacha requires has to be Panim Keneged Panim. How do they have the back to the Yoron Kodesh? It's not a problem. Sefer Torah is in a different Rishus, and there's no problem. So the Gemara still says, like Alderach Hadrash, look how chomer it is. Emas HaTzibur. Look how much you have to have Kovet HaTzibur, that the Kohanim turn their back to the Shekhinah, they turn their back to the Yoron Kodesh, and they face the Tzibur out of Kovet HaTzibur. Strictly speaking, that's not the real reason. The real reason is because the brach has to be panim keneged panim. They're not doing anything wrong. Sefer Torah is a rishus bifnei atzmo. So derech hadrash, the amor is trying to bring out, you have to have kavod atzibur.
Why do women have to stand up? It's a separate rishus. Women.
Why do women have to stand when they open the Yoron Kodesh?
If it's a separate rishus, they should be sitting the whole time.
Right. So same as for the men. The men also. The women don't even have to stand up when the Chazan carries the Sefer Torah. Right, right. Even when they carry the Sefer Torah, the women don't have to stand to separate rishus. Yeah. And when they're saying the piyutim, so we treat the men don't have to stand because of the Sefer Torah, they stand because of the piyutim. That's right. That is correct. Strictly speaking, the women are in a different rishus. Yeah. So that's the comment that he makes. He says, Li'olam. You have to be very respectful, very careful of Kovet HaTzibur. They turn their back to the Sefer Torah, they turn their face to the Tzibur. That shows how important Kovet HaTzibur is. Okay. Rav Nachman has a different marker. That marker is Aderech Hadrash. It's about facing the Tzibur. That's the Halach and Duchening, you have to face the Tzibur. Rav Nachman has a different marker. It says in Divrei Yomim, Vayokom David HaMelech al Raglov, he got up. Vayom Shemauni Achai V'Yami. He says, listen to me, my brothers and my nation. So what kind of a lashon is that? The Gemara asks. Im Achai Lama Ami V'Mami Lama Achai. Why does he call them his brothers and then he calls them his, I'm the boss, I'm the Melech, and you are my subjects? What is he used to both lashonos? Amar Rav Loza, but he meant to say like this. Amalam David LeYisrael. Im Atem Shomim Li, if you're going to listen to me, I don't have to put my foot down, we're going to get along well. Is achayatem, so good, so we'll be buddy-buddy. And I won't balabatava over you. I won't treat you like a king treats subjects. Out of Kovet HaTzibur, he wants to call them brothers. I mean, love, if you're not going to listen to me, you're going to give me a hard time, then I'll have the police insist that everything has to be the way I want, because I'm the king. I'm love, amayatem, ani roideschem emakal, I'll insist on running things the way I want. But David HaMelech would prefer not to run it b'yad chazok. He would prefer to be buddy-buddy with everyone. And they Kovet HaTzibur. That's Ram Nachman's mocker. A mocker that you have to be careful of Kovet HaTzibur from the way David HaMelech spoke. Rabbanan Amri Mehocha. And then other Amoraim had a different mocker. The Mishnah lists off the 9 takonas of Rabbi Yechonim and Zakkai. Rabbi Yechonim and Zakkai was the Nasi, the Rosh HaSanhedrin, for 40 years. The Gemara says he lived to the age of 120. The Gemara says the first 40 years he made a fortune in business, then he retired. And then from the age of 40 to the age of 80, he was sitting and learning in the yeshiva, and he became a big Talmid Chacham. So at the age of 80, they appointed him as the Rosh HaSanhedrin. The age of 80, till the age of 120. And here, Rabbi Yechonim ben Zakkai was the Nasi HaSanhedrin. He was the Rosh HaSanhedrin before and during the time of Churban Bayis Sheni. So he made 9 takonis. He and his bezin made 9 takonis. Many of them were after the Churban Abayis, Zecher LeMikdosh, Zecher LeBeis HaMikdosh. And one of the takonis was, Sheina Karim Hashem L'Alas B'Sandaleim LeDuchen. When the Karim go to Duchen, they're not allowed to wear their shoes. V'zehu Achas Miteisha Takonis Shizken Rabbi Yechonim Zakkai. This is one of the 9 takonis. The Gemara there in Rosh Hashanah and Sukkah lists off all the other takonis. That adds up to the sum total of 9 takonis. So Rabbi Yechonim, so the Gemara understood what motivated this, what's the reason for this takana? Why should the Kohanim not wear shoes when they go to Duchim? So the Gemara says, my time, are they guessing? Probably the reason is, Lamishum Kabbat HaTzibur, when they used to wear shoes, so the shoes would walk in the blood and the mud, and the shoes would be filthy with schmutz on the shoes. So it's not their heritage that the Kohanim should go up to Duchim with their dirty shoes. So they should take off their shoes, and their socks are going to be cleaner. They're going to wear their socks. Are going to be clean. The shoes are going to be.
The shoes, the makom where they stand in the kodesh. The makom where they.
In the Beis Hamikdash, they're not allowed to wear shoes. they're not allowed to wear shoes because the makam is kaddish. Yeah, but over here, if they're duchening in a shul outside of the Beis Hamikdash, so why did he insist you have to takana until the days of Rabbi Yechim and Zaka? They never had this. So what's the reason for this takana de rabbanon? So the Gemara said, lat mishum kavod atzima, that the shoes are going to be dirty, and it's not covered the kavodik for the tzima to walk up in front of them with the filthy shoes. So the Gemara says, I don't think that's the reason why. Amar Avashi, loy, that's not the reason why. It has nothing to do with kavod atzima. Hossam, and he says a totally different reason. Hossam shema nifsikala ritzua bisandaloi. If the kohen will be permitted to walk up to the duchen, to the platform, wearing their shoes, and the shoes, they have shoelaces or shoe straps, they have shoelaces. Days of the Gemara, they used to have wide shoe straps like a chalitza shoe. So what's going to be if the kohen is about to walk up to duchen and his shoelace is going to get untied? He's not going to walk like a schlep with the loose shoelaces. It's going to look awful. He can trip on the shoelaces. So maybe maybe it'll get untied. Maybe it'll get torn, broken. And he'll walk on the side to tie the strap to fix it, and he won't be able to go up to duchen. He's going to be so involved in tying his shoelace, he won't have a chance to duchen. So the people will think he must have just discovered that he's a chalo. One is a ben grusha ben chalutz, and one is a chalo that's not permitted to duchen. If a kohen marries a grusha, so the children are roch halolim, the sons and the daughters are roch halolim. So a person is a chalol, is empty. Chalol means empty, vacuum, empty. He's emptied out. He has no kedushas kun. He's not allowed to duchen. He's permitted to be metamil amesim. He's permitted. Chalol is permitted to marry a grusha. He's permitted to marry a geiris. So he doesn't have any dinim of kohen at all. Can't get the first aliyah. A ben chalutza is only a chalol midirabbanon. When a Torah kohen is permitted to marry a chalutza, but because chalitza is similar to get, so they made exeret the rabbanon. Just like a kohen is forbidden men atar to marry a grusha, so in the rabbanon they prohibited the kohen from marrying a chalutza. So if someone is a ben chalutza, if a kohen is a ben grusha, he's a cholam men atar. If a kohen is a ben chalutza, he's a cholam in the rabbanon. So the Gemara says that's the reason for the takanas of Bechem and Zaka. They don't think it's based on kavod atzibur, that the shoes are going to be filthy. Even if the shoes are very spick and span, even if the shoes are clean, you wouldn't permit him to wear the shoes because the shoes always have shoe straps, shoelaces. Maybe the shoelace will get untied. He's going to be so involved in tying it, he won't have an opportunity to go to duchen. Then the people will think that he must have discovered that he's a cholo. That's why he's not allowed to duchen. But the Gemara said they all mask him to the principle. You have to be very medaktik on kavod atzibur to the extent that we call it emas atzibur. The ema, like Moira, is a degree past kavod. You have to have extreme kavod atzibur. Either the mocker is Aldera Hadrash from the Kohanim who have turned their backs to the Shechina and they face the tzibur when they give the brachim from the kavod atzibur, or a mocker from Dovin HaMelech, the way he says, how does he say, Shemuuni Achai V'yami? Or the mocker is maybe from this takonis of Bechem and Zakai, that the Kohanim shouldn't duchen with the shoes on because the shoes are going to be dirty. In the history books, the historians all suggest a different reason for the takana. I don't know what they need, a different reason. What's the Shlech the Gemara's reason? They say in the Beis HaMikdash, when they were duchen, they wouldn't be allowed to wear shoes. Beis HaMikdash, they're not allowed to wear shoes at all. No one's allowed to wear shoes when you walk in the Azorah. So they want to say that he made the takana Zechel HaMikdash. That the Ikka Duchening is really in the Beis HaMikdash in connection with the Hakravas Kabbanas Tzibur that we had the Gemara with the Taisus before on Lamed Chesem et Aleph. So because the Ikka Duchening is in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't wear shoes, so maybe that's the reason. But the Gemara doesn't give that reason. The Gemara gives a totally different reason. That's the Shah. If the Kohen wears shoes that don't have any shoelaces, so that's a Loy Plug Rabbanan, yeah. But let's say they don't. So let's say the poskim say, in some communities they have a minig out of kavod atzibur, the kohanim don't walk up in their socks. They put on slippers. So if they put on cloth slippers, that's okay. What if they put on sneakers that have shoelaces?
Same problem.
So many poskim say no. It's still mutter. Since it's not leather, the takana was not to wear leather shoes. The sandalim, a sandal. a sandal only has the status of a sandal shel chalitza. Sandal shel chalitza is a din deraisa. V'cholza nala mi'al ragloi. When is there a din of nala sandals? So by chalitza it's a din deraisa. On Yom Kippur you have to have nilas ha-sandal as aser. So the Rambam holds that it's an isa deraisa, and the Rabbein Tam holds only mid-rabbanon. On Tisha B'Av during Shiva it's only a din mid-rabbanon that one is not allowed to wear shoes. But the definition of a shoe we usually assume is a leather shoe. If it's not leather, it's a machloekes satanaim. Can you do chalitza with a non-leather shoe? So one tana, some tanaim hold that you can. As long as it protects. If you just take off the sock of the ovam, that's not good. The sock doesn't give protection. But if you have some kind of a shoe that gives protection to the foot, it doesn't necessarily have to be made from leather. So that's a machloekes satanaim. Benegeta Yom Kippur, benegeta Tishba, benegeta Avela Shiva, and benegeta Chalitza. So we usually Rov HaRishon in Paskin that it's only considered a sandal if it's from leather. If it's not leather, it's not called a shoe. So that's what a lot of Paskim assume, that over here the Takonis Rabbi Yechman Zaka was the Kanim shouldn't wear sandalim when they duchen. Sandal means of leather. It's not made from leather, so it's mutter even if it does have shoelaces. A year and a half ago when I was in Eretz Yisrael in the summertime, so I attended a session, Rabbi Beryl Wine and Rabbi Feldman from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Feldman. We're both speaking for young rabbis. It was a group of rabbis from South Africa. They were having their annual conference. They usually have 9 years out of 10, they have their conference in Johannesburg, and this year, every 10 years, they have an Eretz Yisrael. So these two retired rabbis were giving tips for the younger rabbis what to look out for. So Rabbi Beryl Wine, they both spoke very beautifully. So Rabbi Beryl Wine said, the way at Dar Angefalm, that he had a rabbonis, maybe he said it was his first rabbonis, where the balabatim were yekis, and by the yekis, that's the meaning, that they duchen with sneakers, and put on sneakers with shoelaces, on the sneakers. So he told them, you can't do that. What are you doing? The whole takon is that you don't let them wear shoes because of the shoelaces. So what do you accomplish? You take off the leather shoes and you put on the sneakers. So he said, they didn't listen to him. They were good. Their meaning is that they wear sneakers with the shoelaces. So he was telling the young rabbanim, they shouldn't chep if the balabatim have a minig, and they say this is their minig for the last couple of centuries, so don't fight with the balabatim. Even though you think in Shulchan Aruch says not so, let them do whatever their minig is. Here they justify this minig. That's how they do in Broyas. They have half of the Kohanim wear sneakers with shoelaces on them. So they justify their minig. They say the reason for the Takana Lechud, and the Takana Lechud, the reason for the Takana was because of the shoelaces. But the takana was sandal, and sandal is only if it's leather. If it's not leather, then they never made a takana. So even if you have shoelaces on the sneakers, strictly speaking, is mutter.
By definition, sandal is straps. By definition, a sandal has straps.
Not to wear sandal because it has straps.
The leather part of it, but the strap part of the sandal. That was the issue
that we're learning. They hold that so. They hold that the Issa was on leather shoes.
With washing your hands, if you might type that the shoelaces may not be clean, you have to wash your hands.
Yeah. The Kohanim have to wash their hands anyway before we learn the Gemara. They have to wash their hands. But they have to wash their hands after they already loosen the shoelaces. Right. If they're going to wash their hands, then loosen the shoelaces, and then they have to wash their hands all over again. Because they touch the shoes, they touch the shoelaces, yeah. So they have to first untie their shoes and then wash their hands.
Is it the one that's only a leather? I mean, if you touch non-leather shoes, you don't have to wash?
Some of the Paskim say only leather shoes because they get dirtier, right? If it's cloth, or let's say just touching the shoelaces usually will not be so dirty. So that some Paskim say you don't have to wash, right? But today the shoes are not so dirty at all. We don't walk into such blotter like years ago. Okay. So then the Mishnah has that the duchening, the ikar duchening is in the Beis Hamikdash. And even Bigvulin, they also duchen. We discussed, Rabbi Yankev Emden claims that duchening outside of the Beis Hamikdash is only with the Rabbanah. Because the duchening is only at the conclusion of Hakravas Kabbalah Tzibur. The Mishnah brought rayas against Rabbi Yankev Emden. But it's like the Gemara. The Gemara says beferish like that. Duchening is only at the conclusion of Hakravas Kabbalah Tzibur. So we explain how the Chazaras HaShatz is considered When the Chazan says Ritzei, it's considered as if he converts the Tfilas HaTzibur into a Korban Tzibur. Ritzei B'am Chisol V'Tfilas and the Zabak Kosher, the Tfilas should be accepted as if we brought a Korban. So still, the Gemara says there are differences between, the Mishnah has, there are differences between Duchening in the Beis HaMikdash and Duchening Chutz LeBeis HaMikdash. So one of the differences was that in the Beis HaMikdash, all the three Psukim are treated as one Bracha. Bigvulin, outside the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen says, V'rech Hashem Yishmerech, you say Amen. V'rech Hashem Paralech V'chanek, you say Amen. Yisrael Hashem Paralech Yasmuchal Shalom, you say Amen. The three different Brachas. In the Beis HaMikdash, it's all one Bracha, and you're not Bapsik in between. What is that supposed to represent? So some say that the different brachas, some brachas are on Ruchnias, some brachas are on Gashmias. The outside of the Beis HaMikdash, we usually distinguish between the realm of Gashmias, the realm of Ruchnias. And in Beis HaMikdash, everything blends in together. Somehow Ruchnias is Gashmias and Gashmias is Ruchnias. That's why in the Beis HaMikdash, we have everything as one bracha. We don't consider them three distinct brachas. So the Gemara, and then the Mishnah says, Big Vulin, they answer Amen after each bracha. And in the Beis HaMikdash, they don't answer Amen after each bracha. So the Gemara says, V'kol kach loma, on the top of Mem on the base, how come in Bigdosh you treat all three as one bracha, they don't say Amen in between? Because you never answer Amen by Mikdosh, you never answer Amen in the Beis HaMikdash. Even when somebody says a bracha in the Beis HaMikdash, they wouldn't answer Amen. They would say a different Nusach. Baruch Hashem in Oilam at Ha'olam, Tosis quotes other Gemara, they would say, Gemara Brachas, they would say some other Nusach, they wouldn't say Amen. So here at the conclusion of each one of the three Psukim, Baruch Hashem v'Yishmerecha, Big Vulam, we say Amen. And in Mikdash, they didn't say Amen. So they didn't break it up into three Brachas, it was one. Tana Rabbam, and I should end my Mikdash, how do you know that in the Beis HaMikdash, when somebody says a Bracha, you don't just say Amen? The people who listen to the Bracha, should respond to the bracha by saying another bracha. So the Gemara says, Shenemar, it says in Nehemiah, Rashi keeps on saying, it says in Ezra, the Sefer Ezra Ksiv. Next daf also, the Gemara also quotes from Nehemiah, the top line, Amem Aleph, Amem Aleph, the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Nehemiah, so Rashi quotes it Sefer Ezra. So Rabbi Kevega points out in one place that the Gemara says that there are 24 Kisri HaKodesh, Chamishu Chumshi Torah, and another 19 Svarim. So in the list of the 24 Svarim, Ezra Nehemiah is one book. Like Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis is one book. The Christians decided to declare it as two. Malachim Aleph and Malachim Beis is one book, and Ezra Nehemiah is also one book, it's not two. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin gives a reason why. How come Sefer Nehemiah is not Nikral Shmo? So the Gemara says, it's a punishment. Because Nehemiah keeps on saying, Zocher li lakai l'toyva. This should be farechent as a schus for me, that I did this and I did that. He keeps on pleading, this should be farechent as a schus. So the Gemara says that's why he wasn't zecher, that the Sefer was Nikral Shmo, because he spoke a little improperly. Everything should be farechent as a schus for him. I saw the Chidor writes in one place, I thought it was a joke. The Chidor says, Bapayas in the Tanakh, we have Ezra and Nehemiah in two different books. So I thought the Christians decided to make it into two books. So he assumes, no, that the Rabbanim went along. The Rabbanim never went along Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis, Malachim Aleph, Malachim Beis. So who says they went along on Ezra and Nehemiah? I don't know. So he says, how come I in the Gemara it says that Ezra and Nehemiah is one safe and Bayas it's two? Zokta, the punishment for Nehemiah doesn't have to be the Yom Avoid. Upgekommen, he already suffered his punishment and shine. So now he deserves that the Sefer should be Nikra al Shmo. He suffered long enough centuries, that we didn't call the Sefer Nehemiah al Shmo. So now it's okay, now it's a separate book. So I thought it wasn't correct. The Chidor has a running commentary on the An Yankif. So I think on that Gemara in Chelek, when the Gemara in Sanhedrin has that, the reason why the Sefer Nehemiah is not Nikra al Shmo. So he says that Bizman Azeh China Upgekumen, so we can call it as a separate safe. It's not correct, not Chafei Svarim. That's what he says, the Chafei Svarim. When you have different Svarim written in one Galila, so you have to leave a number of lines in between one and the other. You're not supposed to leave any lines between Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis, Malachim Aleph, Malachim Beis, and Ezra and Nehemiah. It's all one safer. You're not supposed to have empty spaces. Whatever psucha stumma, whatever it's supposed to be, and that's all. You don't have four lines in between, like between Bereshis and Shmos and Bayuki. You have to have four blank lines. So here you don't have lines at all. So I don't really understand what he means. Anyway. Yeah.
But the
Trey
Asar, is it also the Christians split it up into 12, or it was always...
No, the Trey Asar is one Sefer, but the 12 different Nevi'im. So the Gemara says, I forgot already, how many lines you need? You don't have four lines in between. You have to have a little... I don't remember how many lines. You have to have a certain number of lines in between each one of this one. Three?
I think
it's three. It's one Sefer. The Gemara says on the next lap, Trey Asar is one Sefer. But you have to have hafsok in between the Nevi'im. That's what they used to joke years ago. Rabbi Gorin wrote a whole tshuva years ago about there was an issue in the Israeli government about the mamzerim. So he wrote a whole tshuva lahakel. So they used to joke at that time that Rabbi Gorin, at that time the other chief rabbi was Rabbi Avadi Yosef. So Rabbi Gorin thought that his tshuva was so gevaldik, he wanted it to be included in the Kisri HaKodesh. So he was talking to Rabbi Avadi Yosef, they should include it. So Rabbi Avadi said, well, we only have 24 Kisri HaKodesh, you can't add another one. So he said, so we'll take one out. And we'll so he said, who are you going to throw out? He said, we'll throw out Avadi. So that's not correct, because Avadi is not a Sefer Bifnei Atzma. The whole story never happened, okay. But that was an yeshivist they were saying over the joke. But it's not correct. Avadi is not a Sefer Bifnei Atzma. Avadi is one of the Treyosa. It's not a separate Sefer. Anyway, so the Gemara quotes this pasuk from Nehemiah, and Rashi always refers to it as Sefer Ezra. Rabbi Kivega, one place, I think Takan on Sanhedrin, and Perek Chelik, when the Gemara says why Sefer Nehemiah is not Nikral Shmo, so Rabbi Kivega is mitzayin all of the Rashis. Whenever the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Nehemiah, Rashi always says it's a pasuk in Ezra. He never calls it Nehemiah, because strictly speaking, there is no book of Nehemiah. It's Sefer Ezra. It says it's Nehemiah chapter Tes. It's not really, it's Ezra chapter whatever. It's many more chapters from the beginning of Ezra. This Torah, this is all from the Christians. These Marmakimus. All the chapters and all the different Malachim Aleph and Malachim Beit, this is all from the Christian Bible. But it's been so ingrained already in the Gemara, you can't change it anymore. We're stuck already with the Christian division of the Bible. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Kumu Baruchu Es Hashem Elokech Min Ho'olam Ad Ho'olam. That's on Rosh Hashanah. When they built the second day Samigdash, they opened up the temple for the high holidays, and they laid Kriyas HaTorah on Rosh Hashanah, and Ezra was a Kohen, and he got the first Aliyah, and he said, Baruch HaShem HaMvarach, Ark Kriyas HaTorah, as we practice it today, is patterned after the description that appears in Nehemiah, chapter Ches and chapter Tes. So he says there, Kumo Baruch HaShem HaLakech Min HaOilam Yad HaOilam. That's interesting, that Pasuk, the Mishnah says, in Brachas, in the last parak in Brachas, that in the Beis Hamikdash, originally the Nusach used to be Baruch Es Hashem Ad Ha'olam, praise the Rabbanu Shalom forever. And then Mishikil Kalu Haminim, the last parak in Brachas, the Mishnah has, Mishikil Kalu Haminim, when the Apikosim started to dance, and they denied that there's such a thing as Olam Abba, so the Chachamim wanted to fight against them, so the fight against them was led by the Nusach HaTfilah. A lot of things in the Nusach HaTfilah, you have all the Ikari HaAmunah. So the Gemara says they changed Mishikil Chalu HaMinim, they changed the Nusach HaBrocha in the Beis HaMikdash. They said, praise the Rabbanu Shalom Baruch Hu Hashem Elokechem Min HaOilam Yad HaOilam, to emphasize that we believe in Olam Haba also. So when was that? Min HaOilam Yad HaOilam. When did they change it? This was the first day. This was Rosh Hashanah, the first day when they opened up the Bayis Sheni. So you see, Mishikil Chalu HaMinim was day number one. The first day of Bayis Sheni was already Mikil Kalu Aminim. We people think, the Minim that was in the middle of the Tkufas Bayis Sheni later. No. The Achreinim point out, the Achreinim on that Mishnah Brachas point out, the first day that they opened up the second Beis HaMikdash was on Rosh Hashanah, Shein Given Kil Kalu Aminim. So they had the same in Ho'elam Ad Ho'elam. So the Gemara says they said a Bracha, and then the people responded, whoever, Ezra said a Bracha, and the people responded by saying a bracha. Menan should call bracha bracha tehillah. And every time someone says, let's say you have chazaras hashatz in the Beis Hamikdash, so the chazan says the Shmona Esrei out loud. So at the conclusion of each bracha, he says Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham. So the tzibah doesn't say Amen. Ein anamam in Beis Hamikdash. They would say a bracha. V'baruch Hashem Kvedach Meramam Akol Bracha Tehillah. At the end of every bracha, the chazan says Akol Bracha Bracha Tehillah Tehillah. The tzibah would say some tehillah. They would say, Baruch Hashem in Olam Ad Olam. they wouldn't just respond Amen, they would say a longer bracha. And this was not just at the end of the whole Chazaras HaShatz, at the end of each bracha of the Chazaras HaShatz, I'll call bracha, bracha, Teilo Teilo, the Tzibur would respond by giving another Teilo. That's in Beis HaMikdash, everything was different.
You said only on the brachas in the Avodah, when it's between the Shema Kol and Ashiyatza, would it be on the non-Avodah part of the brachas?
You know, if a person says Shehakol, he's eating Besar HaKarbonis, he's eating Besar Chata, and says Shehakol Nebedvaray, so the people wouldn't say Amen there either?
That's
a good question. I don't know. I have to go fish around and look in some Tosefta's to see what it says. Because we mentioned that in the Beis HaMikdosh, you don't pronounce Aleph Dalet Nun Yud the way we pronounce it, Bigvul, you pronounce it Yud Kei Vav Kei. But let's say a person is thinks of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur when he says Lashem Chata, he says Yud Kei Vav Kei. And when you Mashbi'a Saito, the Gemara sounds like you say the Shem Hashem. The correct Shem Hashem. I mean, when a Kohen says Shakal Yimidvoy, he's going to eat a Besar Chatos, he says Hamoitze Lech Manot, he's going to eat the Shiori HaManochas, he makes matzahs out of it. He's going to say Hamoitze Lech Manot, he's going to say Shem HaMfairish, probably not. So the Pashto says you only say the Shem HaMfairish when it's a Beis HaMikdash Dikadin. Like Duchening is a din in Kiyam Avoida, or the Hashboas HaSoita. But what if you say just Hamoitzi Lach Manoetz or Shakal Nibedvara? Hashayotza, you also say the Shem Amforish? Probably not. So that's what you're asking. Maybe this Ani Asamein and the Akol Brocha Tila, maybe this only applies to a Migdash Dike Brocha. Could be. I don't know. We should do research in the Tosefta. I don't know.
What would they say Bermog in the Migdash? They wouldn't say Amen either.
By modim, yeah. We say modim derabbanan simultaneously with the chazan, but then we say amen after the chazan finishes the bracha. Then we say amen. And based on Migdash, they wouldn't say amen; they would give a shevach instead of just saying amen. We're maskim; they would give a shevach, a kol bracha bracha tein lo til. The tzibu would add on a shevach, and every bracha nishmanesu they would add on a shevach. Yeah. See, the Mishnah continues with the theme that the Perek begins with, that usually brachas kiddush havdalah can be recited belaz. You can say in a different language also. Let's say a person gets an aliyah, so if he doesn't know how to say the bracha asher bachaban asher nasalan, can't say lashon kiddush. So strictly speaking, he can say belaz also b'chol loshen. So then the Mishnah has two exceptions to the rule. When the Kohen Gadol gets the aliyah on Yom Kippur, and when the Melech gets the Aliyah by Hakel, once every 7 years, Sukkot, following Shnas HaShemitah, so that's a Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa. So the Melech and the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur have to say the Brichas HaTorah Veloshen HaKodesh Davke. So a Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa. So the Mishnah gives you some more details about the Brichas Kohen Gadol. Brichas Kohen Gadol, Ketzad, what is it all about, that the Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara in Yuma, the first parak, points out that Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur is their Isa. It's part of the Avodah. The Kohen Gadol has to do the Avodah step by step. Can't be Mishar in the Seder Avodah. And then after he finishes the whole Seder Avodah, he has to learn from Parshas Achrimais about how the Seder Avodah is done. And the Gemara has a discussion in the first Perek in Yuma whether the Kriyas HaTorah of the Kohen Gadol is Ma'akev or not. That's, he did the whole Seder Avodah and he didn't learn the Kriyas HaTorah. So the Gemara has a discussion about it. Is it mi'akev or not? But the lechatchila deraisa for sure. It's a din deraisa. You have to have kriyas haTorah. We mentioned the Gemara says down the same daft of Ham and Beis and Yuma, when you burn a paraduma. In the history of the world, they burned 9 paradumas. Moshe Rabbeinu made 1 paraduma, and then later on there were 8 more paradumas. And I said, Lovai, there'll be another paraduma to be metai rola tmei mason. So whenever they burnt a paraduma, so the Gemara says, there's a whole Seder, a ceremony, how you're supposed to do the mitzvah. And then part of the ceremony is that the Kohen HaSorif HaSapara has to learn Parshas Chukas, has to learn the Parsha Paraduma. That's what some poskim say in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber says, Yesh Omrim, the Parshas Parah is deraisa. So the Vilna Gaon says, Parshas Parah. Parshas Zohar is a Gemara. You have to learn Parshas Zohar. Zohar is Rasulach HaMolek, Lois Ishkach. Has to be Bepeh, has to be Meter Chaksav. Where do you come off to say that Parshas Parah is Deraisa? Parshas Parah, David Lane, a couple of weeks before Pesach, everybody should become Tohar from Tumas Meis. They should prepare themselves to be ready to bring Korban Pesach. If you're Tommy Meis, you can't participate in Korban Pesach. Why should Parshas Parah be there, Isa? Some of the apostles can say that that's what it means. When you're burning a Parah Adumah, you have to lay in Parshas Parah. That's a Gemara in Yuma. And Daf Hey, the Gemara said, just like the Kangaral on Yom Kippur, part of the Seder Avodas Hayom is to lay in from Parshas Achrei Mois. So when you burn a Parah Adumah, part of the Seder Asiyas HaParah is to lay in from Parshas Chukas about the Parah Adumah. It's also a din derais.
In a Kohen head, you could lay or a Kohen by Parah Adumah.
A Kohen head yod.
If he lanes by
Parah. Who does the Parah Adumah?
The Chiv to lay by.
I don't know. I don't remember if the. I don't think the Gemara discusses who does the laning. I don't know. It's a good question. Who does the Sreifa Sapora? That's Taka Machloike Satanoi. Whether you need Dafke Kohen Gadol or Dafke not a Kohen Gadol. That's a Machloike Satanoi. But here the Mishnah describes every Yom Kippur. This was the procedure. Birchas Kohen Gadol Kate said every Yom Kippur the Kohen Gadol gets there's only one Aliyah. He gets the one and only Aliyah on Kohen Gadol. We have on Yom Kippur we have six Aliyahs. Machloike Satanoi. On a regular weekday Shena Machamishi you have three Aliyahs. On Rosh Chodesh Chol HaMoed you have four Aliyahs. On Yom Kippur you have five Aliyahs. And then Yom Tov you have five Aliyahs. And Yom Kippur and Shabbos is a Machlokes Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shmuel, which is six and which is seven. So we follow the Tana that Yom Kippur is six and Shabbos is seven. That's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva holds Fakir that Shabbos is six and Yom Kippur is seven. And we pass like Rabbi Shmuel here. So the Mishnah says but that's when you have Kriyas HaTorah and Shul. But this is a separate Kriyas HaTorah. This is a Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa. This is a Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa in connection with the Seder Avodas Yom Kippurim. So there's only one Aliyah. Just the Kohen Gadol gets the one Aliyah. And he says the Bracha before and after. So the Mishnah describes Chazan HaKnesses. So Rashi says the Chazan is the Shamas. Who's in charge of locking up Shine? Okay. Rashi says the Rosh HaKnesses is the Gabbai, the one who decides who davens for Nomad and who gets which Aliyah. So the Shamash should bring the Sefer Torah wherever the Sefer Torah is, somewhere in the Beis HaMikdash. He brings the Sefer Torah, gives it to the Gabbai. Rosh HaKnesses, the Gabbai gives it to the Sgan. Who is the Sgan? So Rashi claims, this is a question, Rashi claims the Sgan is the first Mishnah in Yuma says that every Yom Kippur they would prepare another Kohen Gadol in case the first Kohen Gadol faints or dies or becomes tamei or he doesn't feel well. There's not, so you need someone to be ready to do the avodah to take over. So they had the Rashi claims that's the Zgan. The Zgan is the understudy. How do you say? The one who's prepared to take over in case the Kohen Gadol can't finish. So the Shamas brings the Sefer Torah from wherever it is. That's the job of the Shamas. And then he gives it to the Gabbai. Gabbai gives it to the assistant Kohen Gadol. And then Hazgan knows not the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is sitting. And when he brings him in the Sefer Torah, he has to stand up. He stands up. Kohen Gadol Oimed Umikabel. He stands up and he receives the Sefer Torah from his assistant Kohen Gadol. Mikori, and he lanes Achrei Mois, the whole Seder Havoid and Achrei Mois. Then he mishes to Parshas Emor, Achbe Osor, and Parshas Emor, because it's not so far. From Achrei Mois, Kedoshim Emor, it's not so far, so it won't take so long. You're not allowed to roll a Sefer Torah in shul in public and keep the people waiting. That's not covered at Tziva. But if you're only going to roll from Achrei Mois till Parshas Emor, it's not going to take so long. The Gemara is going to explain, huh? The Gemara says the Meturgman. We're talking this man based on Migdash, and for many years after they had a Meturgman. So you're not allowed to mish a Sefer Torah in public, even a Novi, you're not allowed to mish to keep the Tziba waiting, unless the Meturgamon will be interpreting and commenting on the Pesukim that he's laying. So the Meturgamon should keep on talking. It's not a filibuster. He doesn't talk forever. He just says over the Pesuk. But he should take a little bit more time commenting on the last Pesukim that the Kohen Gadol laying, the Achrei Mois. So the Kohen Gadol will have a chance to roll the Sefer Torah to Parshas Amor. But then, after he finishes Parshas Amor, you want him to lane from Parshas Pinchas. That the Meturgamah, that'll be a filibuster. That we don't allow the Meturgamah to talk forever till the Kohen Gadol is going to roll the Sefer Torah till Parshas Pinchas. Ach be'osar. There's ach be'osar l'chodesh hazeh in Parshas Emor, and then there's ach be'osar shemechumash apkudim in Parshas Bamidbar. That's chumash apkudim. It starts with the census of Bnei Yisrael. So it says after he lanes the second unit in Emor, Gadol is haTorah. The Kohen Gadol rolls it up, closes it, minicha b'cheiko, puts it in his lap, and he makes a declaration to the tzibur, and he says, don't think that the Sefer Torah is puzzle, that it doesn't have Bamidbar. No, the Sefer Torah is kosher, it has Bamidbar, but I don't want to roll the Sefer Torah in public. I don't want to keep everybody. When you open up the Sefer Torah, no one's allowed to talk. So you keep a tzibur, you keep the tzibur waiting. The Kohen Gadol is not laning, he's going to be rolling the Sefer Torah from Parshas Amor, the Parshas Pinchas, so the people stand there and they're not allowed to talk. So that's a violation of Kavodat Tzibur. And then he lays a bus and Shabbachum Shabkudim Karibal Peh. And Parshas, about the dinim of the Musafim that are brought on Yom Kippur, there are two sets of Karbonas that are brought. Yom Kippur is the Yontav, like every Yontav, like every Shabbos. So you bring Musafim. Those Musafim are described in Parshas Pinchas. And then the Parshas Achrimos, those are the special Karbonas that are brought for Kapara. That's a separate set of Karbonas. There are two different sets of Karbonas. So the Parshas Pinchas about the Musafim, that he lanes Baal Peh. That he lanes Baal Peh. So the Gemara is going to ask Akasha, why don't you take two Sefer Torah? We do it all the time. On Chanukah, you take two Sefer Torah, sometimes take three Sefer Torah. So what's the problem? You don't want to roll because it's a violation of Kavod HaTzibur. So close the first Sefer Torah, open up another Sefer Torah and lane, have it rolled up, the Parshas Pinchas. The Gemara is going to discuss it.
Aren't we required to look at it when you're lining it?
Yeah.
You're not allowed to do a Baal
Peh. Yeah, the Gemara says you're not allowed to lane Baal Peh. So he's in violation of the din. We have a dilemma here. For some reason or another, we don't want him to lane from another Sefer Torah. He has to lane from the same one. But he can't keep the tzibur waiting. So you have a conflict between the two. On the one hand, you have an issue of Kavod HaTzibur. The other hand, you have a din, you're not allowed to lane Baal Peh. So the Gemara says the Kavod HaTzibur is more important than the laning Baal Peh. When they were discussing Kavod HaTzibur, they should have quoted this then. This is a real riot. When you have a conflict between Kavod HaTzibur and laning Baal Peh, we violate the din. You're not supposed to lane Baal Peh. That's a real din deraisa. Dvarim shebichsav, you're not allowed to lane Baal Peh. And dvarim shebaal peh, you're not supposed to have mitoch haksav. So that's a real din deraisa. It's not that it's an avera. It's not that it's an avera. It's not. You're not yoytze fully the mitzvah of mesiras haTorah. Torah shebichsav is supposed to be transmitted to the tzibur mitoch haksav, and Torah shebaal peh is supposed to be transmitted baal peh. Let's say today the Gemara says in the beginning of the second parak in Temura that the Chachamim saw that the Torah is going to be forgotten, so Islas Hashem Efer Torah Secha, they permitted the writing down of the Torah Shabbat. But what do you mean they permitted the writing down? They're in violation of Anisa Deraisa. If Dvar Shabbat Peh, you're not allowed to say Biksav, isn't it Anisa Deraisa? So some Shalim say, nah, that whole thing is only an Asmachtim the Rabbanon. Dvarim shebichsav, you're not allowed to say Baal Peh. Dvarim shebichsav, you're not allowed to say Biksav. Whole thing is only with the Rabbanon. Others say no. The Yireim says it's not an Asmachtim the Rabbanon. It's a real din deraisa, but it's not that it's an avera. To fulfill a mitzvah of Talmud Torah bishlei muso, Torah shebichsav should be taught over to the tzibur mitoch haksav, and Torah shebaal peh should be transmitted Baal Peh. If you see that the Torah shebaal peh is going to be forgotten because everyone's saying Baal Peh, people can't remember so much, so they have no prayer. So it's better to fulfill the mitzvah of mesiras haTorah shelo bishlei muso, to teach Torah shebaal peh from a text, rather than to insist on saying Baal Peh, and you're going to forget half of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So they had to make a choice. Not that they're not mekayim the mitzvah b'shalei musa, but the alternative would be to be mekayim b'shalei musa and to forget half of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So that's ridiculous. So if that's the alternative, so we choose like this. So this also, we say, it is a din deraisa. You're not allowed to lain a parsha Baal Peh. But it's not that it's an avera deraisa. It's just you're not yet to the mitzvah of mesiras haTorah b'shalei musa. In every generation, we should transmit the Torah to the next generation the same way it was transmitted to us. It's just like Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Re'ed limadati eschem chukim mishpatim kashet zivani Hashem alakoi." In the beginning of Chumash Dvar. So the Pashup Shat and the Pasuk is Re'el Marti Eschem. I taught you all the dinim. The Rebbeinu Shalom Kasha Tzivani Hashem Elokai. Rebbeinu Shalom commanded me to teach all the dinim. So I taught you all the dinim. So the Gemara says there's an additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk. Re'el Marti Eschem. I taught you the Torah the same way the Rebbeinu Shalom taught me. Mani Bechinam Afata Bechinam. Just like when the Rebbeinu Shalom taught me in Har Sinai, he didn't charge me any tuition. So when I transmit the Torah to you, I'm not going to charge you any tuition. I'm not going to charge you. And it's understood that when we transmit the Torah to the next generation, we're not allowed to charge any money either. So the same thing, we're supposed to transmit the Torah the same way Moshe Rabbeinu transmitted to us. So just like Moshe, the Rebbeinu Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Ksav l'chas advarim ha'ele, in the end the parsha is Kisisa, it says, Ksav l'chas advarim ha'ele, write down these things and not the other things. As advarim ha'ele, v'lo advarim ha'ele, only write down Torah Shemachsav. Ki al pi advarim ha'ele, Karati Chabris Reis Yisrael. I want you to write down the Torah Shemachsav, despite the fact that the Krisis Bris is really on the Torah Shemalpeh. Al pi advarim ha'ele, Karati Chabris. The Krisis Bris really on the Torah Shemalpeh, and not on the Torah Shemachsav. So that's the pasuk that the Gemara saw in that pasuk. Ksav l'chas advarim ha'ele, only write advarim ha'ele, only write Torah Shemachsav. Don't write down Torah Shemalpeh. And this, you, I want you to write it, despite the fact that the Torah Shemalpeh is the Iker Krisis Bris is really on Torah Shemalpeh. Ki api hadvarim ha'ela karati et chabis. Hadvarim ha'ela v'le hadvarim ha'ela. The Krisis Bris only on the Torah Shemalpeh, not on the Torah Shemalpeh. So the Gemara sees from that pasuk that when Moshe Rabbeinu is transmitting the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, the Torah Shemachsav, the Rebbeinu Shalom wants him to transmit Bichsav, Ksav l'chas advarim ha'ela, and transmit it to Bnei Yisrael by Kriyim Etech HaKsav. And he wants Moshe Rabbeinu to transmit Torah Shebalpeh, Balpeh. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells us this, that we should do the same. Just like we're not allowed to charge when we teach Torah, because he didn't charge when he taught Torah. So we're supposed to transmit Torah Shebichsav, Mitoch HaKsav, and Torah Shebalpeh was supposed to transmit Balpeh. But it's not that it's an Avera. If you're laying Kriyas HaTorah Balpeh, it's not an Avera. You're not fully Yotze, the Kriyas HaTorah. If the Balkor is going to lay Balpeh, well, he's not going to read every word. He's going to start to lift up his head and say, Hefta Aliyah, Hefta Kriya Balpeh. So he's not Yotze the Mitzvah Bishlei Musa. So you tell him, laying over the Pasuk again. You want to be Yotze the Mitzvah Bishlei Musa. But here you have no Brera. Here you have a conflict. On the one hand, you have Kavod HaTzibur. What are you going to roll the Sefer Torah? It's going to take 5 minutes. When you're going to roll from Acharei Mois, you're going to roll from Parshas Emor till Parshas Pinchas. So you have, on the one side, you have Kavod HaTzibur. On the other side, you have a din, you're not allowed to lay in Balpeh, Kriyas HaTorah. But it's not that it's an Avera, it's not that you're not Yotze, you're not Yotze Bishlei Musa. So it's better to be Yotze Shalo Bishlei Musa. Let the Kohen Gadol lay in it Balpeh. Better to be Yotze Shalo Bishlei Musa rather than to violate Kavod HaTzibur. That's the decision over here. So that's where the Kohen Gadol, but he has to make an announcement. Don't think the Sefer Torah is puzzle. Don't think that it doesn't have Parshas Pinchas. It has the whole Chamish Chumshe Torah here. But Yosef Mirasha Karasi Bifnechem Kosov Khan. More, I only laid Achri Mois and Emor, but it has the rest also here. But the rest I'm going to recite Balpeh. That's how the Gemara explains. We don't want people to think that the Sefer Torah is pogrom, that it has a psul in it. So the Kohen Gadol has to make a hachroze. Yosef Mirasha Karasi Bifnechem Kosov Khan. There's much more written here in the Sefer Torah. And then the Parsha from Pinchas. That he says Balpeh. Vasa Shebichum Shabkudim. Chum Shabkudim is Bamidbar because it starts off with the Eilu Pkudim and Eisol. It starts off with the senses. That he learns Balpeh. And then the Mishnah now winds up. The first Mishnah said in Eilu Namorim the brachas when a person gets an aliyah all year long, he should say the bracha in Hebrew. If he can't say in Hebrew, let him say in translation in another language. But the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, that's a special Kriyas HaTorah. He has to say the brachas Dafka in the original Hebrew. Davke, it's not kichsavon, the bracha is, it's kinus chosam. Kichsavon is avort, and duchening has to be in Hebrew. That's kichsavon, as it says in Tanakh. The brachas of the Kriyas HaTorah are not in Tanakh. That's, you can't use a lashon kichsava. It's kinus chosai, according to the nusach, the anshech nesagdailo. So the Mishnah says he used to say eight brachas. Baruch aleh, shmoneh brachas. He said, al HaTorah was one bracha, then al ha'avoido. Ritzei means accept our kabbalas. Nirtzolo lechaparolo. So al ha'avoid, the Rashi says the bracha Ritzei. We say Ritzei b'amchisolo v'sfilosim. Accept the prayers as if it would have been a korban. They brought kabbalas. So they say Ritzei Hashem lekab b'amchisol ube korban Isaiah. except the karbanos that it should be v'neir tzolah l'chapro. They al ha'hoidoya. They said moedim al mechilas ha'oven. They said a broch on Yom Kippur. Melech Mocha v'selech la'avin. They said Mahavash Hashem v'chal shalom v'shono. Mekaris is over Yom Kippur. That's mechilas ha'oven. Al ha'mikdash. They would say a broch. The Rebbe Shlom should preserve the Beis Hamikdash. Bizman Baisheni, the Beis Hamikdash shouldn't be destroyed. Al Yisrael, a separate broch, al Kohanim, al Yerushalayim, all separate broches, adds up to 8 broches. And then, Valashar Tefillah, and then they would say the rest of the davening. They would say the rest of the davening. Much of the davening that we have today is patterned after the davening that they had Bizman Shem Beis Hamikdash Ayikai. Many other broches are based on that. But now the Gemara is going to go into a detailed discussion of each part of the Mishnah. Let me just do the first piece in the Gemara. The Mishnah describes the Shamas has all the keys to all of the rooms in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Shamas goes and he gets the special Sefer Torah that they're going to lay, the Kohen Gadol is going to lay on Yom Kippur. So the Shamas comes and gives it to the Gabbai. Gabbai is Rashi, so Gabbai is the one who decides who gets Aliyahs and so on. He's not going to decide anything. The Kohen Gadol is the one man show. He gets the one and only Aliyah over here. But the Gabbai takes the Sefer, gives it, and he gives it to the assistant Kohen Gadol, who then gives it to the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara thought originally, why does he give it to the assistant Kohen Gadol? It's like Kaitzor Bachnosa, it's a kibud. So they're giving a kibud to the assistant Kohen Gadol in the presence of the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, is that the Recheretz? Is that proper? There is a mitzvah to be Mechabit Talmid HaChachamim. So what if there's a big Talmid HaChachamim and he has a Talmid who's also a prominent, the Talmid is a bigger Talmid HaChachamim than I am? Is that bekovedik? I should show respect for the Talmud of the big Talmud Chacham in the presence of the Talmud Chacham, or is that a pegiyah in the kovod of the big Talmud Chacham, the top man? Maybe you should only be mechaber the top man in his presence. Maybe it's improper. So that's a shaila. The Gemara has a discussion. Are you cholkin kovod le Talmud b'mokam harav in the presence of the Rebbe? Is it proper or improper to show kovod to the Talmud? Maybe it's improper to show respect to any other. The Shamas gives his Sefer Torah to the Gabbai. The Gabbai is in charge of all the Aliyahs. Okay, the Gabbai has no Shkem Breira now. He has to give the one and only Aliyah to the Kohen Gadol. He has no Breira. But still, he's the Gabbai. Okay. Then why does the Gabbai give it to the assistant Kohen Gadol, to the Zgan? So the Gemara originally thought, it's a kibbut. We can't give him a kibbut to give him an Aliyah because it's the one and only Aliyah now on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol gets the one and only Aliyah. But they thought that's like a kibbutz, like a tzor v'achnosi. Give him the Sefer Torah, he should give it over to the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, Shamas Minok, can you infer from the Mishnah this issue that was debated in Bava Basra, the Chol can cover the Talmud b'mokam harav, that the proper thing is you are permitted and obligated to give cover to the lesser Talmud Chacham in the presence of his Rebbe, and it doesn't constitute a pegiyah in the kvod harav. One could argue the point, you're not allowed to show kavod to any other Talmud Chacham in the presence of the top Talmud Chacham, presence of the top man. So don't you see here that you're allowed to? And for the Gemara, no, we're not giving the Gabbai doesn't give the Sefer Torah to the assistant Kohen Gadol to give him a kibud. We want to show how mechubedik the Kohen Gadol is, that he has an assistant. So we give it to the assistant like you want to have someone speak. So you introduce the person who's going to introduce the speaker. The more people I introduce, the guy's going to introduce the speaker. Such a chashuva speaker, we have to have someone introduce the one who's going to introduce the speaker. That's over here. You give the Sefer Torah to the Sagan, to the assistant, it's not that we want to give a kibbutz to this God. We want to show that the Kohen Gadol is such a mechubedik man, you have to give it to his assistant to give to him. Okay. That's a discussion in the Gemara. How do we pass on halacha lemaisa on that shayla? Whether chol can cover the Talmud b'makam harav or not? So Tosis quotes from the Gemara in Bava Basra and Yesh Nechman. The Gemara says sometimes yes and sometimes no. It depends. If we have seen in past occasions that the Rebbe sometimes mechabit his Talmud in public, so then we should also be mechabit him in public, in the presence of the Rebbe. It's not a pegiyah in the kvod of the Rebbe. We know in the past this Rebbe used to be mechaber this Talmud. But if we never saw that the Rebbe was ever mechaber this Talmud in public, what he does privately we don't know. But in public we never saw the Rebbe. Then it's considered a pegiyah in the kvod harav to be mechaber the Talmud in the presence of the Rebbe. Then you're not allowed. That's the psak in the Gemara. Hecha de palik le Rabbi Yikarei. if the Rebbe himself sometimes shows kavod in public to this particular Talmud, then it's okay that we should be mechaber the Talmud also. But if loy palag leikar, if the Rebbe never was mechaber this Talmud in public, then we shouldn't do it either in the presence of the Rebbe. Okay, believe that next week we'll have to continue. And Hilchas Pesach, you look in the big Shulchan Aruch, so you have the Taz on one side, the Magen Avraham on the other side, then you have in the bottom of the page, you have the Chok Yankiv. Chok Yankiv is a fantastic commentary on Hilchas Pesach. The author's name was Yankiv, Yankel Eresha. He wrote the Shev Yankiv, wrote a lot of Svarim. His name was Yankiv. He has his name in all the Svarim. So then you have Hasogis on the Chok Yankiv, that's called the Chok Yosef. Adonim Gadol, whose name was Yosef, wrote another Chok to disagree with the Chok Yankiv. So after the Chok Yosef was printed, so some of the Rabbanim were upset about the title. How do you give a name Chok Yosef? You know what Chok Yosef is? In today's Sedra, it says that when Yosef collected all the money in Mitzrayim and he bought up all the lands and all the behemoths and everything, and then Elochol Abayim bought everything, only the Galochim, he didn't charge any tax. That's called the Chok Yosef. The Chok Yosef is by the Galochim. So that you want to call Yosef a Chok Yosef? They say it's an improper name. So others say, Vos is Shlech the Chok Yosef? The Magen Avraham. How does he give a name, Magen Avraham? Who is Magen Avraham? The Rebbeinu Shlom is Magen Avraham. Who does he think he is? He thinks that he's God. He give a name. He give a name. His name is Avraham, and the Shulchan Aruch is Shain. So he give a name, Magen Avraham. Tavos Azoy Shlech, he give a name, Chok Yosef. The Shain is, what was this all about? Why did Yosef give the Galochim? Rashi says they were Galochim of another religion, of an Avodah Zarah religion. Why was Yosef Mechabed the Galochim? It's a shaila. It's a shaila. Why did Yosef decide you're allowed to be mechaber avodah zarah? How does he give a kibbutz to the galoch? So this is one pshat. I remember. I think I heard from Rav Soloveitchik. Maybe I'm forgetting. I seem to remember that I heard from Rav Soloveitchik that this was in order to ensure that later, when there's going to be the Golas Mitzrayim, so it says that Shevet Levi was never tachas ashibud. All the other people were working their heads off, and Moshe is floating around, and Aaron is floating around. They're going traveling back and forth. What's going on? If everybody there's a koshi hashibud, so how come they're all floating around? So the Chazal say that Shevet Levi was not tachas hashibud. So where did they get this idea from? So I think Rav Soloveitchik set it up for some of Arshim, that Yosef set it up that you have to have respect for the ministers, for the clergy, and the Shevet Levi later on is the clergy of the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. So this, he felt he had no brera. He wasn't interested in being mechaber avodah zarah, but he wanted to see to it that the Jewish people should have clergy who should be free, and they should be able to teach Torah to the Bnei Yisrael. If you're not going to have Shevet Levi teaching the Torah, so we would have been in Gansan laws. The Midrashim said that on Shabbos in Mitzrayim, they worked their heads off, but the clergy, the Jewish clergy, the Levim, were teaching Torah every Shabbos to the Tzibur. It's a very strange thing. We have to look in the Mefarshim. What is it all about? What did the Midrashim say? Why did he decide to make this Chayke Yosef, that the Galochim didn't have to pay tax, and they were the only ones who had their real estate that wasn't taken away? It's a deep dark secret. Somebody doesn't say. Yeah, I wanted to mention on Sunday, January 3rd, I'm making a chasana. My son is getting married. I can't invite everybody to the whole suda, but I'd like to invite whoever has free time. It's going to be in Williamsburg in Ateres Avraham, 4:00 in the afternoon. And then my wife insisted that week I can't give any shiurim at night. The week after the chasana, she expects me to attend every Shevet Brachas. This is the first time. I don't remember in the past attending every Shevet Brachas. So the week after, I won't be able to give a shiur. But next week, I'll give a shiur. Next week I'll get it. Oh, you're talking near Mr. Cooperman?
Yeah, so I'm not going to bother.
Better take care of it. You have a phone number in Florida? Yeah.